statements. It's 12 minutes past nine. Finance officials from Europe and the G7 are planning telephone talks today as investors wait for the markets to reopen on Monday. But do you share our feeling that we don't fully understand the unfolding debt crisis? One listener this morning, John Rouse, said, "Why would the English Cricket Board want to buy Italian debt? Some of this is all in Greek, some of it's all in Spanish. Even the bits that are in English deserve fuller explanation." So we've convened a brains trust to tackle a few key concepts. We'll also ask you to have a listen to what we're doing. It might be the first radiograph of the stock market and the loudness debt. But first, here's Carolyn Brown again with an account of the week gone by. And this will signal a few words in question.
American politicians backed a deal on the country's debt. Worries over governments defaulting on debt then came back to Europe. Spain's Prime Minister cut short his holiday as the country's short-term cost of borrowing hit a three-year high. Italy's borrowing rates also soared. Silvio Berlusconi gave a speech which made no mention of structural reform and did little to calm things down. He then made another speech that did. Investors looked for safe havens, buying gold and stronger currencies. The European Commission president urged a reassessment of the Euro Rescue Fund, adding to the market jitters. In New York, the S&P 500 index lost 4.8% in a day, reminding the FT of the catastrophic collapse of Lehman Brothers. S&P then stripped USA of its AAA credit rating. Beijing piled in and called for the creation of a new reserve currency and chided Washington for its addiction to debt.
Well done, Carolyn. Thank you very much indeed. So here we go. We've asked commentators to unpick what we indicated there in just a few seconds each. You're welcome to give your own credit rating to how we're performing. You can mail bh@bbc.co.uk or shout at the radio, which is often quicker. First, since all borrowing adds to the total debt of a country, you could list the total debt in billions or trillions, but we can now hear the size of the debt. Here are Ireland, Greece, Spain and Italy. In Italy and Spain, there's been a rise in the short-term cost of borrowing. Here's Paul Mason of Newsnight.
A country's cost of borrowing rises and falls depending on whether people think they're going to get all their money back, some or none. When a country has to borrow, it issues bonds. Those who buy them are usually pension funds or people investing to get a regular income. But bonds are traded on a bond market, and that means their price can go up or down. Once there's a chance of not getting all your money back, this real interest rate rises.
Now, you can hear what he's talking about by heading to Italy. Since investors change their mind in a constant fight between fear and greed, it works like this. To them, Italian debt seemed safer 6 months ago and more risky 6 days ago. Here's the sound of the interest Italy has had to offer to pay lenders to persuade them to buy those 10-year bonds. It was 4% in August 2010. 4.7% in January of this year. 5% in July of this year. And then jumped a whole percentage point to more than 6% this month. Now to what's meant by structural reform. The Chinese want America to try it. The Germans want the Italians to try it. Here's Digby Jones trying it, the former government advisor, now Lord Jones.
Structural reform is when countries need to increase taxation and at the same time spend less money or get more value out of the money they spend. Problem in a democracy is that, of course, people who have got used to really good first-class spending of government money on them and used to low taxation, they are going to rebel against having their tax bill put up or seeing services cut.
Listening to Radio 4, we're updated all week, of course, on the closing price of the Dow Jones Index in New York. Of all the enterprises around the globe, with all the publicly listed companies known to capitalism, this is an average of the stock price of just 30 big firms. Here's how it sounds. Over the last 2 weeks, we've tracked it for what may be the first rather painful radiograph. Well, let's pause that. That's a pain in the ear. When stocks slide, we were told that investors were looking instead for safe havens. Here's Gillian Tett, assistant editor of the Financial Times.
A safe haven is a place you look to park your cash when the sky is falling in the financial markets. And the problem that investors are faced with right now is that the global financial markets are dogged by what might be called an ugly contest. The dollar zone looks pretty risky, so they could look to the eurozone instead, but the eurozone looks pretty risky too. So what you've had is investors going frantically towards things like the Australian dollar, the Canadian loonie, the Canadian currency. You've also had people buying the Swiss franc. And again, people are looking desperately at things like commodities, corporate assets, because some people think that big companies are safer than governments these days.
All the while, the phrase, the markets, keeps cropping up. But who or what are the markets? A question for financial broadcaster Alvin Hall.
The term markets, as in the phrase, the markets seem to be saying, has two definitions closely related to each other. First, the term refers to the collective movement occurring at the important stock exchanges around the world. When all of the markets decline precipitously, as we've seen recently, or rise strongly, the anticipated ripple effect, like dropping a stone in the water, causes investors to either buy shares or sell shares. This brings us to the second definition of the word markets. It is the investors who buy and sell securities. Today's markets are dominated by large institutional players, hedge funds, sovereign wealth management funds, and pooled investments of all types from every country in the world. Because of the speed with which information is available worldwide, all of these institutional players have access to the same important data at virtually the same time. The influence of this herd mentality has been enormously enabled by technology and the speed at which orders can be executed.
Investors will react later tonight, our time, as stock markets begin opening in Asia to the news that the US lost its AAA credit rating. It's embarrassing for President Obama. And here, ending our look at the debt crisis and decoding it, is Lord Jones with his version of why that's embarrassing.
Credit rating agencies assess a company, or indeed a country's, ability to pay back debt. America has had a AAA for, frankly, the whole time of living memory, because it's always been a big generator, a big economy, and it's always been able to pay its debts as they fall due. The events, of course, of last week mean that one credit agency is saying, well, actually, if they can behave like this now, what would happen in the future if it all happened again? They might not pay. We're going to mark it down a bit to say, just be careful of this one. Don't lend them so much money. Or if you do lend it, and this is the big one, of course, charge more interest because your risk goes up.
Lord Jones. And now to Fionn in Llandudno, one of our listeners, giving us, I think, a double A plus for this treatment so far. One thing constantly confuses me. If most large countries are in debt, who has all the money? It can't just be China. If you want to help out, then please let us know.